Hello and welcome to a new edition of RAE Argentina to the World in English. RAE is the international radio service of Argentina, and we broadcast via the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International, and also via our website, rae.com.ar. I am Fernando Farias, and I'm bringing you this weekly program of RAE Argentina to the World that will include an overview of the most important news of the last week in Argentina and in Latin America, as well as the latest edition of our DX supplement with interesting radio-related news, classic segment of RAE Argentina to the World. We invite you to check out our webpage because we put in motion a lot of new cycles on our website. On our webpage, you can find not only our programs in 8 languages with the latest news, the programs, the same shows which are aired via WRMI, but there are tons of interesting podcasts and also text articles about Argentina and the region in 8 languages. Check it out, rae.com.ar. And if you want to get in touch with us, use the email qslrae@gmail.com. In addition to sending messages or greetings or suggestions, you can also send reception reports if you are a DXer, because we reply those accurate reception reports with QSL cards, with digital QSL cards. So send that reception report to us, to qslrae@gmail.com. Okay, here we go. These are the headlines for this week. Argentina begins applying the second dose of the Sputnik V vaccine, while the first case of the British variant of coronavirus has been confirmed in the country. A 6.4 magnitude earthquake shook the west of Argentina, leaving no casualties. Brazil launches vaccination campaign while Manaus hospitals are overwhelmed. Mexico's president asks Washington for immigration reform while a new northbound caravan is blocked by police in Guatemala. Argentina enacts the legalization of abortion and the issue enters the Chilean electoral campaign. After being excluded from the Copa Libertadores, Boca won the tournament, honoring the late Diego Maradona. And these are the news. Argentina began applying the second dose of the Sputnik V vaccine, which was developed by the Gamaleya Institute of Russia. Health Minister Ginés González García accompanied 2 health workers at the Posadas Hospital in Buenos Aires province that received the jab exactly 3 weeks after the first. Mr. González García said that Argentina has secured more than 50 million vaccines through agreements with pharmaceutical companies Moderna, Sinopharm, Pfizer, CanSino, and Sinovac. In addition, a shipment of Oxford AstraZeneca's vaccine compounds manufactured in Argentina and whose production will be completed in Mexico is leaving this week. On the other hand, ANMAT, which is Argentina's drugs safety agency, approved a quick detection test for COVID antibodies developed by local scientists. Results are ready in 5 minutes, and the procedure is cheaper than imported ones, which cost between $5 and $7 each. To all this, Argentina surpassed the 45,000 COVID deaths mark since the beginning of the pandemic. And in addition, the first case of the British variant of the virus was confirmed. It was brought by a passenger who arrived in the country in December from Germany. However, infections seem to have stabilized after surging to 13,000 a day in average following the Christmas season, according to official figures. In fact, Axel Kicillof, the governor of the largest and most populated province, Buenos Aires, celebrated that the night curfew imposed 2 weeks ago has managed to bring the curve under control. To all this, there's ongoing debate in Argentina regarding the reopening of the schools after a year with online learning for almost all Argentine students. The government of the city of Buenos Aires, for example, assures that the school year in the capital will begin on February 17 with face-to-face lessons for all students. Other districts were more cautious and argued that the return to classrooms will depend on the evolution of epidemiological figures. The Minister of Education, Nicolás Trotta, said that no school in the country is ready to fully operate like pre-COVID-19 times. So, at the beginning, the official assured, there will be a dual system combining classroom face-to-face and virtual or online learning. For their part, teachers' unions have expressed their reservations about official plans to reopen schools and demanded infrastructure and biosecurity guarantees for a safe return to classrooms. It should be noted that throughout 2020, teachers insisted that they never stopped teaching and that it was the state's responsibility to ensure access to computers and internet for all students. The city of Manaus in the Brazilian Amazon is going through a collapse of its health system due to the pandemic. This week, patients had to be transferred to other states due to overwhelmed hospitals where there is a shortage of oxygen tubes for the most seriously ill. According to news reports, there are about 400 people waiting for medical attention in the Amazon capital. In addition, authorities were forced to take death certificates to the victims' homes, and cemeteries are under a lot of stress. On the other hand, Brazilian authorities have approved this week two vaccines against COVID-19, Sinopharm and AstraZeneca's. They also denied authorization to the Russian-made vaccine Sputnik V, citing insufficient data about it. In this context, Monica Calasanz, a 54-year-old nurse from the city of São Paulo, was the first person vaccinated in Brazil, which is the country with more COVID deaths behind the US on a global level, more than 200,000 so far. In Colombia, meanwhile, authorities have warned that foreigners discovered at clandestine parties held in spite of health restrictions will be expelled from the nation. To all this, the former Bolivian president Evo Morales remains in a clinic in the city of Cochabamba, infected with coronavirus, but said on social media that he's recovering well. A 6.4 magnitude earthquake shook the west of Argentina, mainly the province of San Juan, without leaving any dead. The epicenter was spotted 57 kilometers from the capital, San Juan City, and the tremor was also felt in the provinces of San Luis, Mendoza and Córdoba, among others. According to the governor of San Juan, Sergio Uñac, 5 people were injured and almost 20 families had to be evacuated from their homes. The provincial leader also told reporters that there was slight damage to buildings and roads. According to Uñac, the province avoided more serious consequences of the earthquake due to its strict building code, which was issued after a devastating earthquake in 1944 that killed almost 10,000 people. Following the tremor, President Fernandez traveled urgently to San Juan, inspected affected areas, and promised federal funds for the construction of homes. Alberto Fernandez signed into law the legalization of abortion after its approval by the National Congress in late December. At a ceremony in Buenos Aires, the Argentine head of state assured, "Today is a day of much happiness because we are making a more just society." He added that from now on, for the woman or the pregnant person that does not want to continue with the pregnancy, the state will be there to support them and to give them the health that clandestinity does not offer. Let us recall that last month, the Senate passed a law decriminalizing abortions until the 14th week of pregnancy. A similar bill had been rejected by the upper house back in 2018, but President Fernandez, after taking office, had committed to present a new initiative on this subject. As of this year, Argentina and Uruguay are the only countries in South America that authorize voluntary terminations of pregnancies. Meanwhile, in Chile, where there will be presidential elections next November, candidates began to establish their stances on abortion after the legalization in neighboring Argentina. For example, Paula Narváez of the Socialist Party and an ally of former President Michelle Bachelet revealed that if she wins, she would support an initiative to legalize abortion in Chile. On the other hand, President Jair Bolsonaro of Brazil reiterated his rejection of abortion and assured that his country's Congress would never approve it, and that if it did, he would veto the law. In other news, Mexico's President Andrés Manuel López Obrador urged Washington to address an immigration reform that would solve the crisis, whose most visible face are the caravans from Central America heading north. The president addressed the message particularly to Joe Biden, who is sworn in as President of the United States this Wednesday. Mr. López Obrador said in a press conference, "I hope that when he takes office, Mr. Biden will refer to this issue of the migrants, and I hope that he offers them a choice, one that is not imposed by force." End of quote. The Mexican leader recalled that Biden had promised to move forward with migration reform when he was Barack Obama's VP back in 2012. Mr. López Obrador addressed these words to Donald Trump's elected successor hours after the Guatemalan police cracked down on migrants from Honduras with tear gas and batons. Some 7,000 people had left Honduras after a devastating hurricane and set out on foot northbound with the goal of reaching the US border. But after crossing the border into neighboring Guatemala, they were blocked by security forces. According to the BBC, Biden's team reiterated the call for migrants not to start the journey, since the new administration will give priority to undocumented migrants already living in the States. The same sources assure that Trump's tough policies, which include the construction of a border wall, will not change overnight with the new president's inauguration. And finally, sports. The Copa Libertadores, the most important soccer tournament in South America, will be defined by two Brazilian teams that left Argentine rivals behind. The final will be held on January 30 at the Maracanã Stadium in Rio de Janeiro, between Palmeiras and Santos, that beat River Plate and Boca Juniors in the semis, respectively. Anyway, there will be Argentine presence in the decisive match of the Libertadores, as the referee will be Patricio Lustó, one of the most prestigious referees in Argentina. Boca, meanwhile, had the consolation of winning last weekend the Diego Armando Maradona tournament in homage to the legendary Argentine footballer who died last November 25. In the city of San Juan, the Buenos Aires team, of which Maradona was a supporter as well as a former player, beat Banfield in the penalty shootout 5-3 after a goalless draw. And these were the news on RAE, Argentina to the World. Alright, and we bring you now a regular DX supplement that is produced by our good friend and DXing collaborator Arnaldo Sly. And this is the classic weekly segment of RAE Argentina to the World for all our shortwave fans and radio listening hams around the world. We are bringing you this week radio tour of the world. And we start this trip in our continent, in the neighboring Bolivia. The Deputy Minister of Telecommunications of that country, René Sánchez, has announced new dates for the analog blackout, which had been postponed by the government last year. The original date will be November 30, 2021, and will be carried out in stages until it is finally completed on the same day in 2025. That's to say, 4 years later. Mr. Sánchez explained that the first part of the analog switch-off will begin in La Paz, Santa Cruz de la Sierra and Cochabamba this year. These are the three most important cities in Bolivia. This week, the Ministry of Public Works, Services and Housing of Bolivia organized in this context a workshop with authorities and representatives of media and TV companies in which they define the production of TV and radio spots, as well as campaigns on social media, to inform the population about this transition from analog to digital broadcasting. Okay, next on the DX supplement, the US. The head of the American International Broadcasting Service continues restructuring the Voice of the Americas, the Voice of America, and has appointed directors for two of its main services, including the department that handles broadcasts to Cuba. These moves are being promoted by Michael Pack, who had been appointed by Donald Trump as director of the U.S. Global Media Agency, the GMA. And these moves come just before Trump's departure from the White House and the arrival of his elected successor, Joe Biden. Biden and his team have said they will reassess all of these measures taken by Pack and may replace Mr. Pack himself soon. But it isn't clear whether some decisions can be reversed in the short term. Democrats and some Republicans have accused Pack of trying to use the Voice of America as a propaganda tool for Trump. Nonetheless, Pack continued their restructuring process, and less than 10 days after appointing a harsh critic of the Voice of America to head said service, he appointed two conservative figures as the directors of Radio Free Europe and Radio Liberty and the Cuban Broadcasting Office, which runs Radio and TV Martí. Mr. Pack said Radio Free Europe will be run by Ted Lippin, a former Voice of America executive who ran a conservative blog. The management of the Cuba Broadcasting Office was entrusted in turn to Scott Shapiro, a former Washington Times employee. Legislative staff said they are exploring options for delaying or rescinding cuts, or, if successful, promoting legislation that would allow Biden to quickly rescind all these measures taken by the outgoing Trump administration. The staff of the VOA, the Voice of America, spoke on condition of anonymity as they were not authorized to air this issue in public. Now we continue with Switzerland. The radio industry in that European nation has agreed to implement the shift from FM to digital broadcasting via DAB+ by the year 2023. Consequently, the SRG public broadcaster will turn off its FM transmitters in August 2022, and the private radio stations will do the same in January 2023 at the latest. This decision comes in response to positive market signals in recent years. The Federal Council has created the legal basis for the switch from FM to DAB. And authorities are also granting radio stations significant financial support for the transition phase and until FM is switched off. Over a period of several years, the Federal Council has led the radio industry organize the switch from FM to DAB+ independently. The local Ofcom has agreed to accept the shutdown plan decided upon by the industry as a binding obligation and to cancel FM radio licenses on the agreed dates. A poll last year revealed that the use of digital radio in Switzerland has increased by 22% in just 4 years. It also showed that listeners receive 71 out of every 100 minutes of radio airtime per day via digital media, such as DAB+, that accounts for 39%, and internet and cable for 32%. At the same time, FM use has declined by 22%, and only 13% of the Swiss population still listen to analog FM radio by June 2020. In the car, which is like the last stronghold for FM listenership, OBD Plus has also gained importance and replaced FM as the most important radio reception system. OBD Plus and internet radio account now for 55% of total car radio listenership. And now we move from Switzerland to Hungary. On the occasion of the 95th anniversary of broadcasting in Hungary, the Budapest University of Technology has relaunched last December the 1st the Digital Radio Mondiale, DRM shortwave transmissions, currently the only digital radio transmissions in the country. Its main goal is to demonstrate the technological capabilities and benefits of DRM radio to a wide circle of stakeholders. SWDRM transmissions in Hungary's capital city improved once the transmitter was moved to a higher and more suitable site in Budapest, which is the János Hill. At the same time, there was a major technical upgrade with a new content server, which was provided by Fraunhofer IIS from Germany. Broadcasts now have excellent audio quality as the latest XHE AAC audio codec is now being used. The programs also benefit from DRM's advanced text feature, the Journaline, which can present text in various languages on the screens of radio receivers, as well as graphics and images. Moving on now to Turkey. İbrahim Eren, the CEO and chairman of the executive board of the Turkish Broadcasting Corporation, the TRT, has been unanimously elected the chairman of the Asia-Pacific Broadcasting Union at the elections held in the 57th meeting of the organization. It is important to point out that the Turkish shortwave station known as the Voice of Turkey depends on this TRT corporation. In 2020, the General Assembly of the Broadcasting Union and the related sessions that were carried out were conducted online. They were going to take place in Hanoi in Vietnam, but because of the pandemic, they had to be moved to the online world. Mr. Eren is the first Turkish man to be elected president of the ABU, which is the world's largest broadcasting union with members in 71 nations. Eren's term will last until December 31, 2023. TRT's exponentially rising success chart, overseas activities and multi-language outreach were the key factors in electing Mr. Eren as the chairman of the union. And we finish our round-the-world radio trip in India. All India Radio has decided to extend DRM broadcasts on four key medium-wave transmitters located in Delhi, Chennai, Mumbai and Kolkata. Two of these, Chennai with 783 kHz and Delhi with 1638 kHz, have a power of 20 kW. The other two in Mumbai and Calcutta transmit with 100 kilowatts. The Mumbai frequency is 1044 kilohertz and the Calcutta one is 1008 kilohertz. These Transmitters, sites operate almost 22 hours a day, and all of them broadcast news as well as other popular shows of All India Radio, such as Ragam and Vivid Bharati, among others. And this way we come to the end of this week's edition of the DX Supplement of Rai Argentina to the World, a classic segment which is produced by our good friend and shortwave collaborator, Arnaldo Slayen. Hope you enjoyed it. If you want to receive a QSL card, let me remind you that you have to send your reception report to qslrai@gmail.com, and if the report is accurate, we'll be replying with a digital QSL card from Rai Argentina to the World, the international broadcaster of Argentina. And this way we come to the end of this week's edition of Rai Argentina to the World in English. Hope you enjoy the program. My name is Fernando Farias, and I have brought you this program from my home studio as Rai, as well as other stations part of the public radio network of Argentina, continue to operate remotely, and everybody is working from home because of COVID-19. That is why I'll always emphasize we have been bringing you weekly content rather than Mondays through Friday's show, as we did since the radio started broadcasting back in 1958. But in order to stay safe and to prevent contagion and infection of COVID-19, the authorities of public radio have moved most of the stations to the remote mode, Rai being one of them. But we have the hope that this year, 2021, with the vaccine rollout, which is already in motion in Argentina, we are going to get on top of this pandemic. And for Rai, that will mean returning to the studios of Rai in central Buenos Aires and being able to bring you daily shows with daily news from Mondays through Fridays in 8 languages. But in the meantime, we are bringing you this weekly shows, as well as tons of content that you can find in 8 languages on our website, rai.com.ar. Okay, that is all for this week. Thank you for listening, and hasta la próxima. Take care.